This podcast is a part of the Neuhoff Media Podcast Network.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Back here on a Wednesday, good morning and welcome. Wayne Kent joins us first Wednesday of every month. Normally we're previewing what's on Direct Line, but our whole world has changed for a little while. I understand you were out for a little bit and you're back in the world.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Good morning, Brian. Yeah, I was... Long story short, I ended up with a significant infection in my knee. No reason why that occurred. Ended up a number of days in the hospital. As a matter of fact, I'm in the Hay Street Clinic at DMH right now. I have to come in here every morning and every evening for a number of days to get. They've inserted a PICC line, and I have antibiotics. flowing. So So when all this sort of came loose 2 weeks ago, I was frankly quite out of it. So. I'm just now getting my head and arms around all that's been going on. It's a crazy time indeed.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. What do you make of the behavior of some of the pastors, the guy that was arrested in Florida, the guy in Baltimore who's defying all orders? I mean, you all are community leaders, right, at the end of the day, and this just seems to be, there's no way you can justify this.
I don't think you can. I mean, Rodney Howard Brown, well-known in some circles out of Florida, Tampa. He's actually a South African guy who immigrated to the U.S. in the 90s. I think what you're going to see, obviously we made a decision as in the congregation I serve, we made a decision probably before some of the other churches did in town. As a matter of fact, that we were going to go to online services only, and I got some calls from pastors after the fact saying, hey, I wish you guys had told us because now we feel like we should have followed your lead and that sort of stuff. But I think this guy down in Florida would have been wiser to have just said, okay, it's a large church. They had the resources to do online. I think what you will see, though, in the long run, that's going to go through the courts as whether or not he has the freedom of religion to make that choice. His lawyers already.
Yeah, but Wayne, there's no choice. When the governor mandates no gatherings larger than 10 people, that's it.
You would think so. You'd think so. I mean, that's what we did. I mean, pretty quickly, I know most of the churches in the community did. There were some congregations that took a little longer to, I guess, get a hold of it, but I do think you'll find this will make its way through the courts, sadly.
The economy is spiraling. People are losing their jobs. People are dying. I could frankly give a damn what some pastor in Baltimore thinks about all that. And if he's going to tie up courts, I get it.
I think the wiser thing would have been to say, we've got the resources, let's go online. As a matter of fact, let me say this. As a church that has the resources to do online services, there are some congregations in the community that may not. If we can help anybody... we have, cameras and equipment and a video suite that if we could help anybody in the community that says, hey, we're a smaller church, we don't even know where to start. We put together a 2-minute guide, a 1-page, do this, do this, this, and this, and we're willing to help any congregation in the community to get up and running if we can do that.
All right.
So we don't face messes like what's going down there in Tampa.
No, and that's helpful. That's like a solution, not a problem, which is a good thing. All right, I've got to ask you this, and I'm not asking you to speak for Christianity. I think you know at this part I don't hold you accountable for everything.
Well, I appreciate that.
But from Dolly Parton to a minister close to Trump have alluded to sort of this end times, the Trump guy blamed gays. How do you keep Christians from going absolutely crazy with this sort of thing?
I guess I don't think you can.
Okay.
Seriously, I think the reality is you've got some people both in the Christian faith and those who aren't in the Christian faith who are going to be apocalyptic on any matter like this, and they're just predisposed towards automatically thinking the worst is coming down the line. And particularly since none of us have faced this sort of matter in the past, I think one of the pastors in the community would land, I'd say, best you can do is rather than try to predict and state where we are, step back into what Scripture says and simply says to approach God's throne with some confidence. Pray and ask, and this throne of grace from God, where God is, will help us. Hebrews says in our time of need and in our time of trouble. So look for mercy and grace rather than look for struggle. Don't be looking for apocalypse, but rather be looking for how can you help? How can you change the lives of the people in your neighborhood?
Yeah, well said. What is it about? I mean, I understand, you know, this is core part of people's faith, and I understand wanting to get together on Sundays. I get understanding wanting to congregate. I get believing in the power of prayer, all of those things. This disease, this virus, it doesn't care about any of that.
No, it's from a theological point of view, Christians would say that any disease, whether it be the knee disease that's in the infection I had in my knee or the process of dying, all of that was not originally planned by God in the first place, if you read through, you know, how humanity first came into being. But nonetheless, it is the reality of living in that from the moment we are born, we are moving towards death. That's not being fatalistic, that's being realistic. And in the middle of all of that, we say we are people who want to live, and as Jesus said, that we would have life and have it abundantly, that we have these moments of joy. Tragically and sadly, we also have moments of great stress. And some people put it this way: you never know if you've gone a mountaintop if you've not had a valley. So we're going to walk through some valleys here. But I'm quite confident that whether or not this is the apocalypse that's coming down the pike, I'm aware of my family, I'm aware of the congregation I serve, and the people who I care for, and you know. This is a moment for all of us to do some reflection, just to step into prayer, like you're doing in your journal. I think is probably in some ways, Brian, a form of prayer for you that is taking a moment to say, I have never faced this before, so I got to step back and get a better perspective on what's going on in my life. And gracefully, this period of time gives us some extra time at the house to do that.
Yeah, and I think the more of that we can have, the more kindness we can have, the more recognition we can have. What doesn't help is blaming it on gay people.
Surely that's not what people are doing, are they?
Some pastors.
Oh, well, I would say this. You can't mess with... you've caught me
No, I like I said, it's
you caught me off guard, I have to be honest.
No, I'm just saying there's this knee-jerk thing with some people in Christianity that I just don't, that they miss the whole kindness thing. They miss the whole do unto others thing.
Unfortunately, they're, you know, just as those outside Christianity, some people are predisposed towards judgment and evil. And we have the same thing within the church. From my perspective, they're usually not helpful to the team, if you may.
No.
If you say it that way.
In fact, I think it's time you guys threw them off the team. This is the time, or I think where you just go, yeah, you know, we've had enough. Sorry, we're going to block you.
Well, but my understanding is, as a follower of Christ, is I'm a person who has to run towards the mess. I run towards where the struggle is, and that means the struggle when people are idiots within the church and when they're idiots outside the church.
I'm always reminded of a Dennis Miller line about these people who found God because God didn't see them coming first. And even if you have to hobble into the mess right now on one leg, you're going to do it. Wayne, we appreciate everything you do in the community. I know you got some stuff you want to talk about with Easter, and we'll hopefully get in connected with that on the next couple of days. But what's your advice to folks? You know, we had Charmaine Robertson Stoner on. You know, the anxiety right now, financial anxiety. People are saying goodbye to loved ones over walkie-talkies. There are people being buried without, you know, really funerals. Everybody's worried about whether people who still have a job, whether they have a job next week. I mean, these are real concerns. Real mental health issues. What's your best advice?
My best advice is probably to start with what you're doing at present, Brian, and that is back up a little bit and start with what are you thankful for? Scripture says that in everything give thanks. So that's an idea that in the midst of the worst, back up a little bit, step back 10 feet and say, okay, in the midst of this horrid situation, not denying the situation, but what can I be thankful for today? I can be thankful that I'm still breathing. I can be thankful even in the midst of maybe, if I can put it bluntly, in the death of so-and-so. The reason that has impacted me so greatly is because they had such an influence upon my life. I can be thankful for that influence. It's a case of turning our perspective with the help of Christ to say, I'm gonna find the silver lining in this really massive rain cloud that's over us right now. And that's more difficult for others, for some people. Some people, it's easy. They have a cheery disposition. Others are predisposed towards more being gloomy. And so in moments of, you know, depression, don't do it by yourself. Back up a little bit. Get some help. Get some perspective. And if our congregation can help in any way. We've, frankly, as you know, we're responsible for the chaplains at Crossing Inn at DMH. We've added extra hours to our staff there simply for the sake of all the staff in those settings, because we're aware that regardless of where we are and regardless of what role we have in the community, this is really trying times. And so let's acknowledge that. Let's lean into the care of God Almighty. And if I can help or our congregation can help in any way, by all means, reach out.
All right. What's the web address for people to tune in digitally this weekend?
FirstDecatur.org, FirstDecatur.org. I miss all my folks and friends on Direct Line, but we'll be back in the days ahead. But in the meanwhile, you could check us out, FirstDecatur.org, FirstDecatur.org.
What time Sunday?
Well, we do 5 o'clock Saturday, and then 9 and 10:30 Sunday, and then once we've done the 10:30 service, it's within a couple hours, it's left upline, and it's on demand at that point.
All right, Wayne.
Again, let me just say, if we can help congregations who maybe don't have the equipment, we'd be glad to step in and say, do this, this, and this, and come by, use the studio if you need to.
We appreciate it. Best of luck in healing and getting back to both legs.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.